barely 3 years old, was killed as a result of the strike yesterday in the southern suburbs of Beirut. As you know, we know that there was one martyr and at least 15 injured in the strike yesterday that occurred on the edges, actually, of the southern suburbs of Beirut, which is near closer to the area of Hazmiye, which is in the Mount Lebanon area. This is, of course, one of the strikes that has gone to the areas where are considered still considered safe, and they were not given any prior warning. And it seemed, of course, they were definitely civilians in that area. And now we know that in addition to the one martyr who was killed yesterday, we also have a child that died after she had sustained wounds. We also know from the Lebanese Ministry of Health that at least two paramedics in the town of Bazouri were also killed after the Israelis struck their ambulance cars directly. The Lebanese Ministry of Health has also declared that there were very massive strikes surrounding the hospital of Tibnin, which is in the town of Tibnin. This is one of the very few still functioning hospitals in South Lebanon. They have already taken in more than 1,000 injured. And so now the Lebanese Ministry of Health is in a state of analyzing the situation to know if there needs to be an evacuation of that hospital after there had been also evacuations of various other hospitals.
The Israeli military continues its brutal air and artillery strikes across the Gaza Strip, with a number of hospitals being the main targets of its attacks. In one of the latest strikes, at least four people were killed and dozens of others injured after Israeli warplanes bombed a house west of the Jabalia refugee camp. To the south, an Israeli air raid on a group of civilians in the Sheikh Nasser area in Khan Yunus left at least nine people dead. Two mothers and their four children were also killed by Israeli drones near Rafah. Israel's artillery fire targeted the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza, hitting its nursery and injuring several children. Al Orda and Indonesian hospitals were also hit by Israel's shells and drone fire. The Gaza genocide, which began last October, has so far claimed the lives of more than 43,300 Palestinians, leaving over 102,000 people injured. Earlier, we talked to our Gaza correspondent Moti Abu Mosaba to get more details on the recent Israeli attacks across the blockaded territory. Let's take a listen.
First and foremost, let me begin with the northern Gaza Strip, which is still smoldering as a result of the ongoing and ceaseless Israeli airstrikes and attacks targeting elsewhere in the northern part of Gaza Strip, whereas over the past couple of hours, the Israeli warplanes carried out several air raids against residential buildings in Beit Lahia and Jabal refugee camp, respectively, leaving scores of the Palestinian casualties. Those Palestinian people are still, I believe, missing under the rubble, whereas the Palestinian civil defense teams are still unable to reach those bodies. As you know, those teams were crippled after the Israeli occupation forces deliberately targeted those teams since day one of this genocidal war against the northern part of Gaza Strip. The Israeli occupation forces have been deliberately targeting those teams, preventing them from moving freely in order to do their job of extracting and pulling out those bodies from the rubble. And as you know, the kind of situation is beyond catastrophic for the Palestinian people there. The Palestinian debris are still scattered in the streets of Beit Lahia and Jabal refugee camp, and we are talking about hundreds of the Palestinian people are still believed missing under the rubble. According to, as you know, Mahmoud Basal, the spokesperson of the Gaza civil defense system in Gaza Strip, he stated that 100,000 Palestinian civilians are still believed stranded and besieged in the northern part of Gaza Strip.
Israeli forces continue their violent raids on Palestinian cities and towns across the occupied West Bank. During their latest incursion, a 14-year-old Palestinian boy from the town of Halhul, north of Al-Khalil, was killed after he was hit by the regime forces' live fire. Israeli troops also raided the town of Al-Qadr, south of Bethlehem. They fired sound bombs and toxic gas on homes and shops and vehicles, causing a number of civilians to suffer from suffocation. Our Ramallah correspondent Naka Hamad joined us earlier with the latest updates on Israeli raids across the occupied territory. Let's take a listen.
The killing of a 14-year-old child in Halhul, north of Al-Khalil, Najee Nidalin Baba, was shot this evening while walking on the street in his hometown in Khalkhoun, where he was, as eyewitnesses and as health resources have announced, that he was just walking by the street where an Israeli force was nearby and shot him in the pretense that he was suspected he wanted to do anything against these Israeli forces. And as sources have told us, as we have talked to some sources in Khalkhoun, that he was actually very far away from the IOF forces in Khalkhoun. But the Ministry of Health has announced that he was indeed shot and killed on spot, as he was shot directly in a bullet through his heart, and later on to be announced killed in Khalkhoun General Hospital. The incidents today were not only limited to Khalkhoun, but many Palestinian cities also were attacked. As you have just said, the village of Al Khadr near Bethlehem was attacked with tear gas bombs and sound bombs into the town.
The Yemeni armed forces say they will continue to hit all Israel-linked ships in nearby waters, regardless of any change in their ownership or flags. The forces' spokesman said many shipping companies affiliated to Israel are trying to bypass Yemen's punitive measures by selling their assets to other companies or changing their registration. Brigadier General Yahya Sari warned that all parties dealing with these companies and vessels are subject to punishment and prohibited from crossing the Yemeni Armed Forces' zone of operations. He added that any change in the ownership or flags of the Israeli-linked ships won't save them from Yemen's measures. Sari added that the Yemeni army will continue its maritime blockade against Israel-affiliated vessels and keep targeting them until Israel's aggression against Lebanon and Gaza, and as well as the siege of the Strip, stop. Yemeni officials say the United States has requested safe passage for an American aircraft carrier through the Red Sea, a request that was rejected by Ansarullah leadership, resulting in the vessel being targeted. This comes amid a series of warnings from Yemen to neighboring countries to avoid involvement in the escalating regional conflict. Press TV's Abdullatif Al-Vashali reports from Sana'a.
Nasruddin Amir, the head of the Yemeni Saba news agency, revealed that the United States had messaged Ansarullah leaders seeking permission for an American aircraft carrier to pass through the Red Sea without incident. However, according to Amir, that request was outrightly rejected and the aircraft carrier subsequently became a target.
There is American hegemony in the region, and it is historically known that neighboring countries are subject to this hegemony, and we believe that they may join any aggression against Yemen, as they did in previous years, with American support. So far, there is nothing new in the negotiations to stop the war on Gaza and Lebanon, and the American administration lies more than it breathes, and all matters are heading towards escalation, especially with the approach of the Iranian response.
A new statement, Amir claimed that the U.S. and Israel are actively pushing for escalation, aiming to draw other countries in the Middle East into the conflict, a move he warns could ultimately place American interests in jeopardy. He also stated that Yemeni officials have sent multiple warnings to nearby countries, urging them to avoid being drawn into what he called American attempts to widen the war, and warned that participating in this war could have dire consequences.
There is no doubt that if America and Israel wage a war on Yemen, Saudi Arabia and the Emirates will be forced to engage in this war, and this will be done indirectly by supporting and financing Yemeni mercenary factions, supplying them with weapons, and spending on military operations in full because these countries fear appearing in the picture, knowing that Yemen will not hesitate to target them with ballistic and hypersonic missiles.
These remarks come after a recent series of diplomatic meetings led by U.S. Ambassador to Yemen Stephen Vagan, who has reportedly been working to coordinate with Saudi and Emirati-backed factions in Yemen. His efforts aim to ramp up tensions in Hodeidah, a city crucial for Yemen's coastal defense along the Red Sea. Observers say the latest developments are part of a larger pressure campaign by the U.S., Britain and Israel, seeking to push Ansarullah and the Yemeni military into lifting the naval blockade, as well as to halt Yemen Yemen's military support for Gaza and Lebanon.
With Ansarullah rejecting U.S. requests and issuing warnings to neighboring countries, the risk of Yemen becoming a battleground grows by the day. How far this escalation will go remains uncertain. But for now, the message from Yemeni officials remains clear. This is a warning to those who would bring the war closer to Yemen's shores. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana.
Iranians have held nationwide rallies to commemorate the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance, an annual event that highlights their historical fight against U.S. hostilities. This year, the event coincides with the ongoing U.S.-backed Israeli aggressions and atrocities in Gaza and Lebanon, making it more significant than ever before. Fazana Ashurian has more.
People from all walks of life in Iran have once again gathered in large numbers to mark the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance, also known as the 13th of Aban, a notable occasion on the Iranian calendar that serves as a reminder of their historical fight against U.S. hostilities. As they waved the flags of Iran, Palestine, and Hezbollah, Iranians reaffirmed their commitment to what they describe as the righteous path.
As Iranians proud of our rich history, we stand strong in our commitment to reject any form of oppression or arrogance, whether it comes from the United States or the Zionist regime.
Aban the 13th, also referred to as National School Students Day, marks three important events in Iran's contemporary history that took place in different periods. First, the exile of Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic, by the Pahlavi regime in 1964. Second, the mass killing of students protesting against the Pahlavi regime. And third, the takeover of the U.S. Embassy, also known as the Den of Spies, in Iran in 1979. One of the main reasons for the U.S. embassy takeover was the U.S.-backed coup in Iran in 1953, which led to the overthrow of the democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh.
My message as an Iranian teenager to our adversaries, particularly the United States and the Zionist regime, is that we will not allow any acts of aggression against our country.
I am here to honor those who lost their lives in the fight for justice, as well as those who took over the U.S. embassy. I want to emphasize that we will continue our fight against oppression.
The late founder of the Islamic Republic referred to the U.S. as the Great Satan. I am here to express my deep disdain for this entity.
The participants also highlighted the significance of Imam Khomeini's efforts to support Palestine, which they consider to be the most important issue in the Muslim world.
Imam Khomeini raised the flag of supporting Palestinians 45 years ago. This flag right now is being transferred to all of youth in the whole wide world.
A comment that resonates with the participants of this huge rally, who believe that the 13th of Aban is a day on which Iran demonstrated that by relying on God and its own people, it can overcome any form of hegemonic power and achieve victory.
Aban 13 stands as a powerful testament to the Iranian people's determination to resist global arrogance and serves as an inspiring model for freedom seekers worldwide. Farzan Ashurian, Tehran.
And that is the end of this hour's news bulletin. I am Bahman Urai.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
Aban 13th, the Day of God. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello and welcome to the program. Today is 13th of the Iranian month of Aban, a day on which three vital events in the struggles of the Iranian people for freedom from foreign hegemony and domestic despotism took place, beginning with the exile in 1964 of the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God bless him, and culminating in 1979 in the capture of the U.S. den of spies in Tehran by revolutionary students. Stay with us for a special feature in this regard on the day that is celebrated as the Day of National Campaign Against Global Arrogance. The 13th of Aban is indeed one of those glorious days in the history of Iran, which the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, had hailed as Yomullah, or the Day of God. That sage of the age who restored to Iran its religious, national, cultural, political, scientific, social, and economic prestige meant whatever he said. He was not playing with words as politicians who get elected for a term or two and then fade away from the scene do with eyes only on the people's vote, while the heart and intentions might not tally with what they speak. As a loyal servant of the Prophet of Islam and the infallible Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, peace upon them, Sayyid Ruhullah Musavi, through his sheer dedication to the dynamic teachings of Islam, had achieved the status of ijtihad, or independent reasoning, on the basis of the Holy Quran and Hadith, and then risen to higher degrees to become the Wali-e-Faqih, or the Supreme Jurist, who is always cognizant of the presence of God, the Omnipresent. Thus, it was divine inspiration which made him use the term Day of God for the day on which the den of spies in Tehran fell to Muslim students who, by seizing top secret documents, foiled a dangerous plot to overthrow the Islamic Republic system of government and in the process expose to the whole world the satanic nature of the administrations that march in and out of the White House. Now, we know why this man of God used another divinely inspired term, Great Satan, to designate U.S. administrations, whether Republicans or Democrats. Imam Khomeini meant to say that Iranians and all the world's oppressed should always be vigilant of the plots of the U.S. and never allow it to infiltrate their societies, since humanity is faced with a monster that is more mischievous than its master, Lucifer, the outcast. The bleak, black, and bloody record of the U.S. speaks for itself. It includes the criminal dropping of atomic bombs on Japan when the Second World War was almost over, overthrowing popular governments such as Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh of Iran in 1953, massacring the people of Vietnam for over a decade and a half, instructing Saddam of the repressive Ba'ath minority regime of Baghdad to impose the 8-year war on the Islamic Republic of Iran, resorting to state terrorism to reduce Afghanistan to thraldom, patronizing the illegal Zionist entity, creating through client regimes a string of terrorist outfits like Daesh in Syria and Iraq to destabilize Muslim lands, tarnishing the image of Islam and breaking its promise to remove all illegal sanctions clamped on Iran. That is the reason the present leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as the loyal disciple of Imam Khomeini, said, "Iblis, Lucifer, or the Satan only tempts mankind to commit sins and crimes, but the US as the great Satan practically wreaks havoc on humanity and destroys all humanitarian values." He said our enmity is with the satanic nature of the US administrations and not with the American people, who are also oppressed by the regime in the White House. So, when we say death to the US, we mean the satanic elements that run it. It should be recalled that on this day in 1964, the detested British installed an American-backed Pahlavi potentate under instructions of his masters, exiled to Turkey, the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, in the vain hope of perpetuating American hegemony over Iran. The rest is history. The Imam soon moved to neighboring Iraq to take up residence in Najaf, near the holy shrine of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, from where he inspired the Iranian people to stage their epic uprisings against the US Zionist domination of the country. In 1978, on this fateful day, when it was clear to all that it was only a matter of time for the Pahlavi regime to be swept into oblivion, the US stooge, at the behest of his overlords in Washington, ordered the massacre of students at Tehran University who were staging a peaceful rally calling for return home from exile of their beloved leader, Imam Khomeini. The bloody event backfired so badly on US designs that 2 months later, the hated Shah was forced to flee Iran, and on February 1st, the Imam returned to lead the Islamic Revolution to its resounding triumph. In 1979 came the crowning moment for Aban 13th, when the revolutionary students stormed the espionage den, caught the spies red-handed in the act of shredding documents of American crimes, and ended once and for all any undesirable US presence on the sacred soil of Iran. Imam Khomeini hailed the memorable move as the second revolution that was without the least doubt necessary for proper materialization of the rule of the Iranian people over their own affairs. Thus, in view of these undeniable facts, it is all the more necessary to keep alive the sweet memories of the fall of the US den of espionage.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Viewpoints is a window to the most important topics and affairs of the Islamic world. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's episode of the program Viewpoints, we want to talk about the concept of istikbar. What is it exactly, and who is called a mustakbar? Sheikh Nur Muhammad, let's start with you, brother. Can you define istikbar for us? What is it exactly? And do we have any Quranic or Hadith reference to this concept or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Conceptually, I think the meaning of istikbar is very clear. It means arrogance. And the mustakbir means the arrogant one, those who are arrogant powers, for example.
All right.
You know, in some verses of Noble Quran, we have the concept of istikbar. For example, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send them a messenger who warned them, they just refuse this messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِسْتِكْبَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَكْرَ السَّيِّئِ. Because of their arrogance and their plotting, you know, they did not accept the message and the mission of that messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the warner.
Right.
So we have the concept of istikbar originated from the actually, you know, for those people who are arrogant and they consider themselves to be higher, superior,
yes,
a kind of supremacy over others.
All right.
In the case that there is no superiority of human being, all human beings are equal.
Okay.
Except, according to the verse of Noble Quran, those people who are pious.
Okay? Yes.
Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum.
Yes.
Those people who are the, you know, most virtuous one, they are a noblest one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very
so good. there is no supremacy.
Yes.
Nobody can claim that, for example, because I'm American, because I'm European, because I'm from this land, other land, I'm superior. Because I'm white, we have the white supremacy.
Okay.
No, we do not have these foolish ideals.
Oh, as we have it today,
unfortunately,
the discourse of the superpowers of the world,
unfortunately
they look this up to down look
this
at the people.
This is a big issue that, you know,
yes.
this is, I think, the first issue from among the first issue that Islam tackled, actually,
yes,
and gave the very clear solution was equality and justice.
Yes.
But it's still in this so-called modern time, we see that this is a big issue in some countries, like, for example,
right,
United States.
Yes.
We have the concept of racist.
All right.
We have some group who are very active people,
yes,
racist. We have the killing of the black people.
Yes, the colored
because
people,
of
that's
this
right,
white supremacy. Still,
yeah,
we have.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, very unfortunately, they consider themselves, they're racist, you know. They,
the boss of the world.
Yeah. They think,
yeah,
because I'm white, because I'm American, I'm superior.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
So these white superior people have always existed during the history. For example, they had different names, Pharaoh, Nimrod, you know, this and that king, Sheikh Rouhani. Can we call them the mustakbirs too? I mean, from the very beginning of the history of the world or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, the story of istikbar goes back to the time before this earth. I mean,
okay,
when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created in Jannah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Satan to prostrate for Adam.
Yes.
And Aba wastakbara.
Mm-hmm.
The term istikbar firstly used here in the Holy Quran for Satan.
Oh.
That Satan disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showed a kind of kibr or arrogance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
Not prostrating for Adam, while it was a divine order for Shaitan and he has to obey. But unfortunately, Satan istakbara wa kafara. So this is the main root of istikbar is a satanic root.
That's right.
Whoever in this world perform istikbar, he is the follower of Satan, of
right,
Shaitan.
Right.
So that is why, you know, that nowadays the scientists are of the view that the DNA of man is 9 billion years old.
Mm-hmm.
But the DNA of our planet is 5 billion years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that Adam came to this planet and he existed before this planet. And he came, he is brought to this planet.
Okay.
Anyhow,
okay,
so it means that this istikbar goes back even before the history.
Yes.
So, but then when it comes to the time of the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we have, as you rightly mentioned, the very great symbols of istikbar in the history, as Nimrud, as
yes,
Pharaoh, for example, the people who killed the Anbiya, alayhim as-salatu was-salam,
yes,
and who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever you show a kind of disgrace, a kind of arrogance, against Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are mustakbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us not to kill innocent people, innocent civilians, children, men and women, ladies. If you kill them, then of course you are the exact follower of Satan.
Yes.
And you are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're just following Shaitan, and you are a satanic power then.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Very
good. So that's why believers, the followers of the Abrahamic religions, the true followers of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the true followers of Moses, the true followers of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the true followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them should fight against any kind of istikbar.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a divine order for the true people not to follow Satan.
Yes.
To be against Satan and to be against the satanic powers. And to be against those people who follow Satan.
So the history is repeating itself, and the modern mustakbirs of the arrogant powers in the world are exactly, we can say, repeating their satanic legacy.
Exactly. Istikbar is the manifestation of satanic power in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Satan to do this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will examine, will test the good people, the true people, and also the evildoers.
Okay. So it is more than a political concept.
Exactly.
It is exactly a religious concept.
It goes beyond
concept.
All these kind of domains that we sometimes focus.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
So, religiously speaking, what is our duty against the arrogant powers, Sheikh Nur Muhammad?
I think if we want to talk about our duty against the arrogant power, sometimes our duty might be fighting with the arrogant powers. For those regimes and the arrogant power, like, for example, Zionist racist regime, which is a symbol of arrogance in the world, who commit crimes and genocide in Lebanon and Palestine. I think the only way is resistance.
All right.
You know, we have no other choice here because they are arrogant.
Yes.
I cannot talk or negotiate with the arrogant people, with the racist people, with the racist regime, actually, who commit the crime, biggest crime ever on this planet, maybe. You know, the only way remain is resistance, is fighting with those arrogant, regimes and with those people, for example, talking about the personal, you know, relationship with those people who are have the maybe a ray of arrogance in the behavior. Sometimes is to, try to, not. I do not want to say advise those people because they do not accept any advice.
Okay.
Sometimes it needs some education for those people, to talk to those people, to explain to them that this kind of arrogance that you have.
Is it possible, for example, Israel nowadays? Can any government in the world do reconciliation with Israeli powers and its allies of not killing the innocent children of Palestine and Lebanon? Is it possible? Because they are the epitome of the arrogance as you defined it this way.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody can educate them, Sheikh.
You know, I think the only way for talking to those people, only way remain for the arrogant power and regimes is to fight with these enemies and to resist against them.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have no other choice.
Yes.
You know, for example, the symbol of that is a Zionist regime.
Yes.
We have to fight and we have to resist against this arrogant racist regime.
That's right. And this was what the late Imam Khomeini has always emphasized on. I mean, struggling against the istikbar of the time. And some people might think that this was a political agenda, but no, it was rather a godly we can say, essential look at the nature of the human being, because from day one, some of the human beings were trapped by the satanic temptations, and now they were, as we said, during the history of the world, we had so many arrogant powers who tried to act against the goodness, I mean, in the evilish way. But Sheikh Rouhani, nowadays, there are so many Muslim lands who read out these verses of the Quran. They know the story of satanic powers. Unfortunately, they are not acting against the arrogant powers of the world because of these geopolitical relations that they might have. Is it a good idea to sacrifice your safety, geopolitically speaking, for the sake of struggling against arrogance?
Why not? You know, the problem is that opposed to istikbar, we have another term, istiz'af.
Yes.
Istiz'af is a happening where the people sometimes consider themselves as weak people.
Yes.
As poor people in terms of power, in terms of technology, in terms of knowledge, in terms of, for example, economic power or political power. And then the enemies of these kind of people always try to weaken them more and more, to tell them that they are weak, that you are poor, that you do not have any power, any right to defend yourself, to protect yourself.
Yes.
So, particularly nowadays by the mass media, they always try to misguide the people and make them accept this, that they are mustadaf.
Yeah.
And they have to be just the followers and the imitators, and not doing any act against any kind of this.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
The second has classes of the society.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Like the lower class of the society, which has to be always be
exactly.
Controlled. That's right.
This is the problem.
Okay.
So one of the way that we should awaken these kind of people, we should tell them that, okay, you are like other human beings,
mm-hmm.
and you have the right to live your own life, to have your own culture, your own economy, your own political power, your own homeland, your own territory, yeah?
Yeah.
And you should not let your enemies to misuse or to abuse you and your properties, your culture.
Yes.
Unfortunately, this is the problem that nowadays we have with
but
many
Sheikh,
of the
fear
nations,
is that,
yeah?
You know, the big fear is that sometimes this low class of the society will reach high level and they will become like arrogant people too,
yeah,
because
this is
Satan's temptations and
exactly.
traps are always over there.
Exactly. We are always being examined by Allah subhanahu yeah. wa ta'ala. We know that nowadays there are some superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Some decades back, they were not superpowers.
Yes.
They were other superpowers.
Yes.
But they are now weak and poor.
Yeah.
And of course, the Quran has mentioned that mm-hmm. we always give chance,
yes.
sometimes to this eastern part of the world, sometimes to the middle part of the world,
yes.
sometimes to the western part of the world. We will check that
right.
what would you do with these bounties, blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also we will check you people who have this duty to raise your voice, to
mm-hmm.
fight against this tyranny, against this oppression.
Yes.
If you do not raise your voice, if you do not act any kind of action, then of course you are also sinful people, not only the mustakbir.
Uh-huh.
Mustad'af, who
the
just...
The silent people who are...
Yeah, yeah, who can
bearing,
do
yes.
something.
All right.
لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. You
yes.
know, the way that you can, you have to do something. So that is why the problem is with both sides, not
right.
only with the mustakbir. Sometimes mustad'af himself is also sinful
mm-hmm.
because he has some duties, he has some responsibilities.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the responsibilities is not... carried out by these people. So these are the points that all should be considered.
Okay.
And we are all being examined. We are all being tested by
mm-hmm.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either we are in a kind of superpower status.
Yes.
Or we are, for example, sometimes as a weak or poor people.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, we are being examined and tested.
Okay.
This is the
sometimes this
ideology
is, yeah.
that
yeah.
we have in Islam.
This is the silence of some of the people in the world that gives...
That causes more corruption.
Yeah, more
yes.
corruption and gives more power to the super arrogant powers of the world. All right. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, anything missed?
Actually, the point that my brother mentioned is very important. Unfortunately, we see that some propaganda wanted to have and to give this impression for example, some Muslim that you are weak, you cannot stand, mm-hmm. for example, the arrogant power, they are very powerful,
all
they
right.
are so and they, you know, to actually enlarge the abilities and to try to give kind of illusion
all
from
right.
What is a reality of
okay.
the arrogant power, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the ways of Satan.
Yes.
To frighten the people, to give this illusion that you cannot resist this, for example, racist regime and so
right.
on and so forth. But as my brother mentioned, we should come to outer.
Mm-hmm.
We should believe in our abilities and potentiality that we can resist
right.
against the arrogant power.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Nur Muhammad and Shaykh Rouhani. This has been the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that during the governance and authority of Imam As, Imam al-Mahdi ajalallah, the true power will be given to the truthful people and they will be victorious against the arrogant powers. Inshallah, we'll see such one day, inshallah. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, please visit our new website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. I try to remember not to take anything for granted, 'cause I know that one day suddenly this will all come to an end. So my
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Sometimes I do forget that my next breath could be the last. Forgive me, 'cause I can't thank you enough. Forgive me when I doubt your love. Now I pray for that day when all this stops and comes to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
in the limelight.
The Zionist regime's finance minister has dared to suggest a plan to expand illegal Zionist settlements in the occupied West Bank. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, the Zionist regime finance minister has dared to suggest a plan to expand illegal Zionist settlements in the occupied West Bank as a sign to the entire world that a Palestinian state will not be established. The Zionist regime's finance minister Bezalel Smotrich called for the full annexation of the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip, asserting the need to establish illegal Israeli settlements in the heart of Palestinian territories, and the expulsion of Palestinian nationalists. And that's according to the Middle East Monitor report. The far-right minister told an American evangelical audience at the Middle East summit in occupied Al-Quds that Israeli presence must be solidified in Gaza by creating a lasting Israeli civilian and military presence and the establishment of settlements in the enclave. The leader of the far-right religious Zionist party asserted that any military gains in Gaza could not be maintained unless there was an Israeli civilian presence in the Gaza Strip. He claimed, where there is no civilian presence, there is no long-term military presence, there is no security, and there is an existential threat to the State of Israel and its citizens, and we must not allow this. Smotrich brushed off the idea of a two-state solution, telling the audience that Israel should be upfront about rejecting a Palestinian state. The Times of Israel reported that the finance minister suggested instead a plan to expand illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank as a sign to the entire world that the Palestinian state will not be established. Smotrich went on to claim that Palestinians in the occupied Palestinian territories should only be granted limited local self-rule, devoid of national characteristics, while expelling any Palestinian with national aspirations. Middle East Monitor reported, those who do not want or are unable to put aside their national ambitions will receive assistance from us to emigrate to one of the many Arab countries where the Arabs can realize their national ambitions, or to anyone other destination in the world. Other far-right speakers at the conference, which was organized by the Orthodox Jewish institution Israel 365, also dismissed the idea of a Palestinian state. The head of the Zionist regime's far-right New Hope Party, Gideon Sar, was one of those. He reportedly called on the Zionist regime to reject any form of concessions to the Palestinians, encouraging the Tel Aviv regime to adopt instead a political iron wall in the face of international pressure to on the establishment of a two-state solution. Sar was quoted as saying, there will never be any substitute for full operational Israeli military control of the territory from the sea to Jordan. For his part, religious Zionism member Ohad Tal stated that there can be Jewish sovereignty from the river to the sea. He claimed, some will say this is not realistic, and we respond that the two-state scenario has itself proven to be a dangerous delusion. Also adding, others will say that the world will not permit it, and we respond that once the Jewish people is determined that this is the right way, no obstacle is too great to be overcome. The recent claims of the controversial finance minister come in line with previous statements
he has made along with other far-right Zionist regime figures. In a recent interview with the Franco-German art reportage channel, Smotrich called for Israel to expand its borders to the Jordan River, as well as to the Syrian capital Damascus and other countries as far as Iraq and Saudi Arabia. His ambitions and that of several others of the current far-right Zionist regime government to achieve the Greater Israel Project came in an interview for the recently released documentary titled Israel Extremists in Power with Art. The far-right Zionist minister told Art, "I want a Jewish state that operates according to the values of Jewish people." At one point in the interview, the journalist asked Smotrich if today's borders should be expanded beyond the river in the next stage. "Okay, bit by bit," he replied, and said, "It is written that the future of Jerusalem is to expand to Damascus." Smotrich claimed, "Only Jerusalem until Damascus." This exchange between the Zionist regime's finance minister and the reporter is followed by a revelation by the documentary narrator, who says that Bezalel Smotrich has a radical vision for the promised land, and it includes all Palestinian lands, but also territories in Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Egypt, even in Saudi Arabia. He concludes by stating that it certainly is an extremist vision, but it is an accepted one in Israel's public discourse. Many Zionist extremist leaders have voiced their ambitions publicly of a so-called Greater Israel since the start of genocide on the besieged Gaza Strip on October 7, 2023. On September 27th, the Zionist regime's prime minister, child killer Benjamin Netanyahu, displayed at the United Nations General Assembly session a map that included the occupied West Bank and Gaza as part of the fabricated regime of Israel. The Zionist regime prime minister held two maps, which both place Gaza and the West Bank as an integral part of the Zionist regime. A year earlier, child killer Netanyahu spoke at the same forum and displayed a map that of what he called the so-called New Middle East, which also included the West Bank and Gaza as part of Israel. Since the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza, neither Israeli regime leaders nor troops or regular Israeli citizens have been timid about posting footage on the different social media outlets expressing their ambitions of a so-called Greater Israel project.
Islam, Al-Aqsa and peace. goes hand in hand. This is our home. It is our right. Yes, Allah knows. It's our Palestine. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my heart? One day the sun will rise over this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: the Hezbollah resistance movement continues to hit Israel's military sites and settlements, striking two major bases near Haifa with drones and missiles. Israel's brutal air and artillery strikes kill more Palestinian women and children across Gaza, raising the genocidal war's death toll to about 43,300. And Iran's president blames the US for fueling global conflicts, warning that Tehran will not leave any aggression against its sovereignty and security unanswered. The Hezbollah resistance movement presses ahead with its retaliatory operations against Israel, targeting the regime's military positions deep inside the occupied territories. In one of its latest operations, the group targeted the Israeli army's Eliakim training base south of Haifa with a squadron of drones. Hezbollah also targeted a group of Israeli forces in the Metula settlement with a guided missile, killing and injuring them. The resistance group targeted the Beit Lid military base east of the occupied city of Netanya with a barrage of missiles. The headquarters of Israel's Western Brigade Command in the Yara barracks was also targeted with a drone. The movement's air defense unit forced an Israeli Hermes 900 drone to leave Lebanon's airspace over the Eklim at Tufar region. Hezbollah's missile barrages also hit for the first time the Haifa technical base, which is used to train the regime's air force technicians. Hezbollah carried out several more operations targeting Israeli soldiers in a number of settlements across the occupied territories. Israel has carried out fresh strikes in Lebanon shortly after threatening residents to leave. At least three Israeli airstrikes targeted the eastern Baalbek region, which has seen heavy raids in recent days. The regime has also issued displacement orders for the nearby town of Doris. It claims Hezbollah facilities are located nearby. Earlier, the Israeli military targeted an area near the southern city of Sidon, killing three people. Israel has intensified its military campaign in Lebanon since late September. Nearly 3,000 have been killed and over 1.2 million displaced in Lebanon since clashes broke out with Hezbollah last October over the genocide in Gaza. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent Maryam Saleh from Beirut for more details on the latest Israeli atrocities in Lebanon.
A child, barely 3 years old, was